so we might have a warning. Father, the devil is real. The devil hates your children. And Father, I pray God tonight, Lord, that we would do what you've called us to do. Father, I pray that there'd be decisions made tonight that would mess up the plan of the devil, whatever he has a plan for. Father, I pray, God, that I would preach everything. Father, you'd have me to preach. I'd preach no more than what you'd have me to preach. I'd say, Lord, what truth is. I'd say it to where everybody could understand it. I'd preach not to be popular, but Lord, I'd have the power of the Holy Ghost on me. Father, I pray that we'd preach. Lord, preach through us, Lord. I pray if there's a young person here that's getting ready to make mistakes, God, I pray that you'd stop them. God, I pray, Lord, if there's somebody here that's already made them, you'd let them see, Father, tonight, that they can start all over in you. Father, you can clean them up. Father, if there's a marriage that's going awry, Lord, I pray that you'd be there. I pray if there's a home, God, that's getting ready to blow up. Father, I pray that you'd bind the devil. And Lord, I pray that you'd stop his plans. And Father, they'd be stopped tonight. And we'd live there and you were going to say, hey, devil, you're not getting any more of our young people, our marriages, our families, our homes. God, we're going to go with you. Lord, go with us tonight. Help us, Lord. Father, bind the devil from his place tonight. In Jesus' precious name, I pray. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to tell you, what's the devil up to? What's he up to? He has a plan for your life. God has a plan for your life. But you need to understand, the devil's real. The devil don't care about your children. He don't care about your marriage. He don't care about your home. In fact, he hates them and he wants to get rid of them all. He wants to destroy this church. He wants to do anything he can to get into the church, to get into the church house, not only the church house, but to get in your house. And these decisions got to be made. Now, greater is he. Hey, I get nervous preaching on the devil, but let me tell you this. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Hey, the Holy Ghost can bind a strong man and he can't get in the house. So I want you to understand, I love you. I'm here to help you. And I want to preach what God tells me to. So I'm going to tell you what, hey, you may not like me, but you got to love me because that's what God's Word says. But what a sad sight. Nowhere else in the Bible will you see a man and a greater picture of what the devil wants to do to you or your family. Nowhere else will you ever see a clearer picture of what the devil's all about. Nowhere else will you see what he wants to do. And nowhere else will you see what he's doing to people today. Today. See, Jesus just done a mighty miracle. He just calmed the storm. And who shows up? The devil. That's the way it is. That's the way it is right there. And there's five things the Lord's put upon my heart tonight that the devil wants to do in your life. That's what it's five things. And you're going to see that now. Let me say this. The devil cannot possess a child of God. The Holy Ghost possesses him. He'd have to have more power than the Holy Ghost does to get a hold of me. He can't do it. But you know what he can do? The devil can impress me to do something he wants me to do. And he can oppress me to do things that I would never do under the power of the Holy Ghost. Because you know why? I get to choose. I can't be possessed. If you're saved tonight, you can't be possessed. But if you're saved tonight, you can't be impressed. Don't you think you can handle the devil? Don't you think you can stand up to the devil? But I'm going to say, and young people, I want you to listen to me tonight. There's things that the devil wants to do in your life. And one thing leads to the other. And the first thing leads to the last thing. Here's the first thing. Look at verse 29. For he commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, For all the times that he caught him and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he broke the bands and was driven the devil into the wilderness. First thing I want you to know tonight, that the devil, the first thing he wants to do in your life, the devil wants to make you uncontrollable. And there's some of you here tonight. Guarantee you, there's been a time in your life that you let the flesh get the best of you and you became uncontrollable. Oh yeah, I've done a lot of things that I wouldn't have done. I've done a lot of things that I'm ashamed of, but I will tell you this. There is nothing out of God's will that I cannot do and won't do out of God's will. I am no match for the devil. You say, well, he'll never get me. You'll be the first to fall. He'll never get my marriage. Your marriage will be. You better build a hedge around your children. You better be. I tell you, you better crawl them out to the glory. Hey, you better take them to the throne of glory every day. Every day from the time they little to the time you go on out of here. You take your kids every day because the devil wants to get in somewhere, but he cannot go through the blood to get to anything else. He can. I tell you what, he wants to make the first step in a big old fall, whether you're 85 years old or whether you're 10 years old, is that he wants to make you uncontrollable. This man right here, he was bound in fetters and chains, and no man could control him. No man could take care of him right here. I tell you, if he can't control you, he's fine with just controlling a little of you. Listen, he ain't wanting a whole house. He just wanting to get in the door. He ain't wanting the whole house. He just wanting to get through the TV. He ain't wanting the house. He just wanting to get through that smartphone. He just wants just a foot in the door. Now, he ain't going to stop once he gets in, but if you'll just crack just a little bit, we need to be praying that God will give us as parents and grandparents discernment to know, to be able to see what crack he's going to come through, what door he's going to come through before he ever comes in. I don't like going in. I want to know that the snake's in there, but I don't want to see the skin after he's tore it all up. I want to see it while he's coming, where he's coming from, and in the name of Jesus, just like they just sung, tell him that he has no part of being in my house. Listen, the first thing, young people, he wants just a little bit of rebellion out of you. That's where it starts. Rebellion against the things of God. Let me say this. This message ain't just to young people. It's to all us older people who forgot what it was to be young people. We're hard on them. Can't believe they did it. But a lot of us, if they was to throw some things up on that screen, me and you'd be ashamed too. Before we start throwing too much, we just might need to go backwards a little bit. Guess what? They've got it a whole lot worse than what we had it. I thank God every day there wasn't no social media. I praise the Lord. Everybody video. I thank God. I thank God I didn't have a smartphone. I thank God I didn't have a Facebook. Still don't. I thank God I don't care where anybody goes on vacation and eats. I don't care. If I ain't seen you in 30 years, that's my own fault. I don't need to keep up with you now. More problems? Is it odd if I preach? All right. Better be careful. You better be careful. You don't need to be, older people, you don't need to be looking up what that girlfriend and boyfriend look like 40 years. You don't look no, yeah, you look a lot different too. Right? Don't go there. Oh, I know families that's blowed up because of that and they think they can handle stuff like that. I'm going to tell you what, it'll handle you. Let's get our face in the book and forget about the rest of it, right? Listen, I want to say something to you now. All he wants is a door. He just wants to get in. Hey, he just wants in there. And Satan, he's striving to get this place. But rebellion's where it all started. And I'm going to tell you what, he caters, he comes along to our flesh, and there's a battle goes on in my life every day. There's a battle between the spirit and a battle between flesh, and it's going to fight. I thought when I got to be 40, it'd be better. I thought he went up to be 50, it'd get better. Now that I'm heading toward 58, it ain't no better. Sometimes it's even worse. And I'm going to tell you what, we have to understand, this flesh is no match for the devil, but the Holy Ghost is the only thing that'll take care of the devil. He just wants to get you uncontrollable. He just wants to get you just a little bit uncontrollable. He wants that flesh. He wants that pride. He wants that fear. He wants all those things to come out. He just wants to get in there just a little bit right here. I'm going to tell you, all sin is addictive. It's a Baptist church, right? Okay. He don't need no sipping saints. Baptist church, don't get quiet on me. Don't get quiet on me. Because what you sip might be what that young one takes and becomes an alcoholic. You know what? You give him a gift from hell. I know that bothers people. But I want you to understand something. You ain't looking at a preacher that ain't been down the road. I know what it does. I know what it does. I was a pallbearer 2 or 3 times the time I was about 22 years old because of that. We was all, you know what? We all did it together. And oh, I tell you what, they went out into eternity. And you know what? I was saved at 9. I should have been telling them, but you know what? I was doing it with them. And I have to live with that. And I'll never forget a man named Todd Ty Singer. Lived with him 3 years, 4 years. Went out into eternity. Me and him talking one night. He said, you know what? We don't hurt nobody but ourselves. Watch his mom and daddy crying at a casket. Oh yeah, it hurt a lot more than just. But you know what? I was preaching then. I got to deal with that. Listen, all sin's addictive. Drugs addictive. Pride's addictive. Bitterness is addictive. Envying's addictive. Jealousy's addictive. Once you become an addict, there's all kinds of sin that's addictive. You know what? We can be in God's house, and we can do all kinds of things nowadays. If I was the devil, you know what? Porn. Come on. Yes, sir. That's right. Yes, sir. Sit right out here. You can't smell it on you. You don't taste it. It'll destroy you and young people. Stay away from that junk. It'll destroy your marriage down the road. He just wants to get into control of one thing. To destroy it all. To destroy it all. See, once he gets you uncontrollable, just one place, then he's going to go somewhere else. Verse 27. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house but in the tombs. Once he gets you uncontrollable, young people, what he's going to do after that? Once he gets you just a little bit of rebellion, then the devil's going to rob you of your decency and your modesty and your morals. Once he gets that sense of rebellion and that pride and flesh starts rearing up, you know the next thing he's going to do? He's going to make sure there's no shame when it comes to sin. That's the problem with our churches in America. There's no shame in sin anymore. We can say, hey, these things that happen now would have made our grandparents blush. And you know what we do? We laugh at it. They should always be shaming sin. When there's no shame in sin, you're going down the road and the devil's going, I'm taking you right where I want you to be. See, we got to understand right here. There's no shame when there's no blessing. It's all for public view. All these things, all this caters to the flesh. And I'll tell you what, all the devil's wanting to do, and I've seen it so often with young people. They get in there, you know what, and they want to be in this crowd, and they want to be popular. I'm going to tell you, we want them to be great in the eyes of this and great in the eyes of that. I think we ought to be like John the Baptist. He'll be great in the eyes of God. If your child is great in the eyes of God, God, then everything's going to work out. We want them to be great here. We want them to be great here. If they're great in the eyes of God, that's all God wants. If my children can just be great in the eyes of God. I don't care if they're great in the eyes of you. I don't care if they're out of God. Hey, parents, if they can just be great in this and great in that and great in that, you know what? Just pray that your child's great in the eyes of God and everything else will work out just fine. Because you see, once he gets in that rebellion, he starts robbing the decency and morals. I've seen young people hiss. It breaks my heart. Go down a road, and that little girl that used to smile all the time, be happy all the time, that young man that used to get up and sing, and all of a sudden now the devil's starting to work in his life. I'm going to tell you what, the devil is a robber, he's a liar, he's a loser. I'm going to tell you this, you know what he does? First thing he's going to steal from you, first thing he's going to get from you, he's going to rob you of your joy, he's going to rob you of your happiness, he's going to rob you of your hope, he's going to rob you, he steals, he stole from me for about 5 years. My driver's license, the time I was 16, till I was 20, I went from looking one way to the other. You know what it was? It's because of sin. Sin shows up in how you look. Sin will change you. It'll harden you up. It'll get you so messed up. It'll destroy your home, your marriage, your wife, your husband, destroy your family, destroy your children. I'm going to tell you what, young people, you're going to have to make a decision. All of us older people have to make a decision. We got to decide we're not going to let the devil keep tearing into everything all the time and just give them up to the world. We're going to have to learn to fight for our children and our grandchildren and let them know that there's a God in heaven that'll fight with us, and I'll fight with you. We'll fight together. Going to rob you. He's going to rob you. He's going to rob you. He's going to rob you. God, give me two daughters. Spent a lot of the first time just praying that I would not. This is a shame. It's the truth. God knows. The devil's sitting there going, you know what? I'm going to make sure that you reap what you sowed. I beg God, don't do that. It's a shame, ain't it? You know why? You know why I preach? Because I've been forgiven. You know why I preach? Because you know why I'm a grace preacher? I ain't legalistic. I ain't even real religious. I'm saved, washed in the blood of Calvary, and He's taken care of me. And He took me from somewhere where I was when I was about 22 or 23, put me in a pulpit. I'll tell you what, if there's somebody I know what the devil can do. I've seen it. One of these days, the Lord may just let me tell what I know and what I've seen. But you know what? I don't think... Some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you been there. The devil do a lot of damage. He make you get sick at your stomach. See, he just wants that rebellion. Grew up in church, decided I wanted to go a different route. Didn't want to listen to mom and daddy and mama and papa and the preacher. I was going to do my own thing. You'll go on a ride that you don't want to get on, and you're going to have a hard time getting off of it. See, he wants to rob you of your decency and your morals. I might as well just say all this. I ain't down here. He's your pastor. I'm just coming through. Young ladies, you start dating some old boy, he tell you he loves you and he wants you to do this and that. Prove to me you love me. Everybody listen to me. I'm trying to be nice. Everybody knows. You kick him to the curb so fast. Yes, sir. You get rid of him so fast he can't make... You make his head swim. Yes, sir. And I'm going to say this, young men. Come on. Same goes for you. Ain't that right? Yes, sir. And two-edged sword here. It goes for you too. Because see, you know what he's wanting to do? He wants to get in your present so he can always rule in your past. He wants to get in your today so he'll make you get messed up mentally tomorrow. If he can get in your today, he'll get in your past. And you know what? Once he's in your past, you've got to deal with him the rest of your life until you get a glorified body. So the decisions you're making today is decisions you're making for 40 years down the road. Everybody right here, am I not telling the truth? You deal with what you do today, you'll deal with tomorrow, and you'll deal with it the next day, and you'll deal with it when your grandparent, and you'll deal with it. So I'm telling you young people, don't do what some others have done, and you take care of yourself now, and you'll be so happy, and you'll be so pleased that you lived for Jesus when you was 18, when you was 28, when you was 38. I tell you, it's going to be the best decision other than getting saved that you've ever had, that you decided you're going to live all your days. All your days. She robbed you of your decency. See, whatever. They got all this social media stuff now. People taking pictures and stuff like that. You got to realize, I want everybody to listen to me. What might be funny when you're 17, it ain't funny when you're 35 walking in the supermarket. That's right. What's funny when you're a junior in high school? It ain't funny when you got three little ones walking behind you and everybody going, that's right. You think today. Think today. What about tomorrow? Don't you let anything. You go ahead and make your mind up tonight that when it comes to some things, I ain't going there. I'm going to live for Jesus. And you know what? They say, well, none of the boys want to. God don't want you to have but one anyway. Right? So, well, hey, ain't be none of the guys going, hey, you don't need no guys with an S, you just need a guy. Right? You don't need 20. You just need one. And I'm going to tell you, God can give you the one, but I tell you what, don't you worry about finding the right one. You be the right one, and God will send you the right one. You be the right one. You be the right one. Because, see, the devil's going to start. It's going to start. He wants to take that away. I hope that the Holy Ghost is messing up the devil's plans tonight. The third thing after that's going to happen, I'm just going to tell you what's going to happen next. What's going to happen next? You go with a little rebellion, you get a little uncontrollable. Then he's going to rob you of your decency and rob you of your morals. And here's the next thing that's going to happen. Let me give you the scripture right. Here's the third thing that's going to happen in verse 27. It says, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. The third thing he's going to do, get a little rebellion, get a little uncontrollable going on, rob you of your decency and morals. And the third thing he's going to do, the devil wants to alienate you. You say, how you know these things? Yeah, how do I know these things? What happens next? He gets you now. He's going to get you out of God's house and away from God's people. Now he's going to get you away from your godly mom and your godly daddy. Now he's going to get you away from everything that's anything to do with God. He's going to alienate you. You know what you're going to be left with? Them people that care nothing about you. The people that want to use you. The ones that want, the ones that want to make you a heroin addict. That's right. The one that wants you to be an alcoholic. They want you to live like that. And so what he's going to do then he's going to alienate you. And if you're saved, you're going to be miserable. If you're saved, it's going to tear you up. And you ain't going to know which way to get back to. And you know what he's going to do? Then he's going to have you all by yourself. And you know what? You're going to be like a fish out of water because you ain't where you're supposed to be. You don't fit in with them. You ain't fitting in over here now. And so now you got yourself in a mess. And now you're alienated. And now you got yourself in a mess. You got to decide, am I going to come back? Am I going to stay here? And a lot of times what happens, you find yourself that you're alienated. You know what one of the biggest epidemics we got going on right now? And you tell me how with all the technology and everything we have, that everybody, the biggest epidemic we got going on among young people is loneliness. Man, when I was in high school, I was never lonely. I don't ever remember lonely. I didn't have no phone. I didn't have nothing at all. But I was never lonely. We was cutting up, always together, kind of hanging out. And now you go in, and there's 15 people, and they're all on their phone, I guess sending texts to each other beside them in the hall of high school. How are you lonely when there's 1,000 people walking around? Listen, it don't matter if they like it or not. You'll always have somebody's respect if you'll serve God and do what God wants you to do. There'll be respect. And I'm going to tell you what, I know y'all got some in this church, you young people. I know. Y'all got some in this church. If you'll stand for God, they want nobody else stand for you. I guarantee you there's some in this church that'll show up, show out, and stand with you. And if y'all don't, then that's on you. You call me, I'll come stand with you. You stand for Jesus. You don't let nobody tell you this and tell you that. They believe they came from a bunch of monkeys and they're teaching it in evolution. Don't listen to none of that. You live and do what God would have you to do now, and you'll never regret what He's going to do for you in the future. Because see, He's going to alienate you. He just wants to get you by yourself. He wants you to have to sit there and think. He causes separation. How many times has sin got in a home and it causes separation between mama, daddy, parents, kids? Separation starts happening in the home. And when separation starts happening in the home, then the devil gets in the home. Every bit of this leads up and he ain't changed a bit. His ways are the same as they were now that they are then. He's still doing the same thing. Rebellion, uncontrollable, lose your decency. Alienated. That's what he did with him. If you're going to go to war, you're going to study who you're fighting. This is what he's going to do. That's what he's going to do. He's going to alienate you. And then look right here. And it says this is in Gospel of Mark. And Mark's Gospel says that he was there and he found him, he's cutting himself. One of the hardest funerals I ever did was a 15-year-old suicide. I'm going to tell you something. Drugs, alcohol, porn, all this stuff that's coming at these young people. If you ain't careful, it'll get you depressed. It'll get you discouraged. Sin, he just wants to rob a smile off of that youngin's face. It breaks my heart. I said, I'll see him somewhere. And I'm like, how's it going down there? And they starting to, you know what? They used to run up to me and hug me. Now they're like, they see me and they don't, you know why? I know that the devil's been on their trail. I don't want none of you young people to have to deal with any of this. You're going to have to make a decision tonight. Tonight. I'm not asking you to make a decision tomorrow. I'm talking about tonight. Parents, I need you to make a decision tonight. Don't you be no deadbeat daddy that'll sit there and click and watch every football game while your kids are going out and doing all kinds of things and you don't even care. That's right. Mama, don't you be a mama sitting there saying, not even paying attention to what's going on because everything's going on around the world wanting to know what's going on. Listen, I'm just going to be real honest with y'all. We're at war for our young people. And I think God's people need to wake up. We are at war. I'm talking about war. There's a spiritual battle going on and there's a generation that's coming that knows not God. And it falls on me and you to warn. You say, well, I don't talk to... I told my daughters the truth. It's better for them to learn and have street smarts without being on the street. You know what? If I don't preach like this, then you know what? There's some things in my life that's just wasted years. But if God could use it and show what God could do, I warn you today, fight for your grandchildren. Fight for your children. I tell you, let them know that there's a God in heaven that loves them and that you love them, and fight for them. They do wrong, tell them it's wrong. They do right, tell them it's right. Because the devil will make you suicidal. You say, it don't happen that often. You need to get out. I don't believe none of this happens. You know what? It'll probably happen to you before you even know what hits you. You better know it's coming. My daughter went off to college. They tried to teach her and tell her, and she got tore up. You know what? I'd been telling her, don't you be drinking. Don't you be smoking dope. Don't you be running around with guys. Don't you be doing that. You know what? She sat down one day and started crying, telling me, said, Daddy, I didn't know that they was going to tell me there was no God, and I've got to write a paper on it. That didn't go over well. And she said, he wanted to talk about the facts of Noah's Ark and why there's no way it could be true. She said, or we could do it and go the opposite and try to prove it. I said, I'll help you with that paper. I might be dumb, but I'll help you with that paper. She got an A. Only one in her class, but you know what the woman said? Professor? She said, I don't agree with any of it. But she said, you've proved it with references. You know what? I don't care if she got an F. I don't care. But you know what? She sat there and told me, said, you did not get me prepared for that. We're at war. So what are you going to do? What's the decision? Go see, it makes you suicidal. That's what it's going to do. It's going to cause all this discouragement and depression. And then at the end of it all, here's what he wants in verse 28. When he saw Jesus, he cried out, fell down before him with a loud voice, said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. The man's eat up with demons. He's cutting himself. He's running around naked. He's lost his home. He's lost everything he has. And Jesus is coming toward him, the very one that can save him. And he tells Jesus, torment me not. Like these are my friends and you're my enemy. That's right. It's kind of like somebody be crazy enough to go out. We went out, partied, smoked a bunch of dope, drank a bunch of beer, got in a bunch of fight. You got beat up. You throwed up. We had a great time. Let's go do it tomorrow night. You ever know anybody do stuff like crazy like that? And say, what a great time we had. You know what? Hey, everybody loves. Hey, nobody wants to be a heroin addict. Everybody goes, I hope I'm an alcoholic when I get to be 20 so I can just have just drink. Nobody wants to do that. But you know what? At the end of it all, when all these things have happened, you'll be doing things that you thought you know was so bad and so wrong and hurt you so bad, and say, it's good for me. You say, that don't happen. Get out in the world. It's all around you. And if it ain't around you, it's around these young ones. That's right. It's around them. So what decision are you going to make? What are you going to do? Listen, here's what the devil wants. He wants your eyes. And that's everybody in here. I can fool you, but I can't fool God. He knows what I am when I'm in front of you. He knows what I am when I'm by myself. That's right, he does. He wants your eyes. He wants your ears. You know what we ought to, all these old people, what we ought to sing? I'm talking about me. You remember that little song? I don't know if y'all sung it down in here, but I remember hearing, "Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see." You remember that? "Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear." Oh, you know what? We ought to sing that in adult choirs all over the United States. Because that never got, you know what? That's as biblically sound of any song you'll ever sing. He wants your mouth. He wants you to be one of them cussing Christians. Go along with the sipping saints. Dignified. That ain't the Jesus that kids need to see at home. Ain't that right? We lift our tongue what you say. He wants your mouth. He wants your hands. He wants your feet. But at the end of it all, you know what he really wants? He wants your mind. That right there is my battle. That is my battle, my battle. Hey, you ain't going to find me in the bars anymore. Hey, you put a pony keg in front of me, it ain't going to bother me one bit like it used to. You put a water bottle, you can do whatever you want to do. It ain't going to bother me like it used to. But right up here. That's right. He wants your mind. You know what sin will do? It'll warp you. So what are you going to do? Said his name was Legion. That's 5,000 to 6,000 highly disciplined, well-trained, heavily armed infantry of the Romans. Where are they now? Where is Legion? Where is Legion? Are they in hell? No. Said he could put them into the swine. Said don't put us in the abyss. You know where they are? We're dealing with them today. You know what their names are? They just changed their name. Their name's abortion. Homosexuality. Yeah. Incest. Rape. Alcohol. Drugs. Heroin. Meth. Abortion. That's Legion. He's all around us. But there's a God in heaven that lives inside of me. And he can keep you. He can keep your home. Say, you can't do it anymore. Oh yeah, my God hadn't changed. He ain't changed. But let me ask, what are you going to do? All right, here's where rubber meets the road. What are you going to do? Young people, don't you wait till somebody offers you a needle or a shot of liquor. Don't wait. Don't wait till they do that to decide what you're going to say. Decide now. Decide tonight. When that young man or that young girl wants you to do something that you know God don't want you to do, you decide tonight what you're going to do tomorrow. And when you tell God that's what you're going to do, you keep your vow, He'll keep His, and He'll keep you, and He'll give you the right person. I believe that. You know what happens a lot of times? Get out of God's will, you get around the wrong crowd, you get around the wrong people, you get the wrong one. That's right. So what are you going to do? You're going to say yes? You're going to try it? It'll try you. And there are going to be people say, well, you just got to learn to handle it. Yeah. Yeah, it'll. Yeah, you keep thinking that. It'll handle you. It'll handle your whole home. Parents, what are you going to do? You say, well, I just want them to be open to make their own choices. That'll come fast enough. But God sent you to help them to make right choices. And they, some of you young people going, yeah, my mom and dad, they're hard on me. I tell you what, I had a lot of friends, their mom and dad didn't even know where they was at. They could stay out all night. They could be in a ditch somewhere and their mom and dad did not care. You be a parent that down the road, they say, you know what? My mom and daddy wasn't perfect, but you know what I can say? I can say they cared. That they loved me. My daddy was out one night at 1 o'clock trying to find me. Embarrassed me. Oh, I thank God that I had a daddy that loved me enough that I'll go find him. You know what he was showing me? He was showing me one about 4 or 5 years later that would come out and leave the 99 just to go out and find one, and that one was me. And you know what? The one I'm preaching about tonight is me. This is where I was. Don't go down that road. Daddy, you fight to the death for your family. Mom, you fight to the death for your family. And there's some of you out here, I guarantee you. You're saying, I've already made some bad decisions. Can Jesus help somebody like me? I'm glad you asked. Let's read the story. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. There was there a herd of many swine feeding on the mountain. They besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them, and he suffered them. Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine. The herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. When they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man. This is one that's so messed up. Out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. They also which saw it told them by what means he that was possessed of the devils was healed. That man met Jesus Christ, and he straightened it all out. But here's the next thing I like. He wanted to go with Jesus. In verse 39, he says, return to thine own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee. Not only did he get forgiven, listen to me. You say, I've already messed up. Not only was he forgiven, Jesus told him to go and tell. Not only was he forgiven, but he was usable again. And people like him end up preaching in Alabama. So what are you going to do? Let's stand to our feet. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Y'all come right on. It's two.